Hey there, welcome back to Friends You Can Grow With. I'm your host, Matt Nesbury, sitting down with me today, two good friends, one we've seen before, a new friend here. So we'll just start with you, Billy. This is Billy Smith here. Hey. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yep, Billy Smith, father of three boys, on staff here at the church as the director of groups, get the privilege of serving the great community that we do together, and yeah, that's me.
Awesome. Yeah. And then our new face today, Chip Baker. Chip, why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
A little bit about me, man. I'm just an ordinary guy working hard to achieve some extraordinary things, man. Fourth generation educator, teacher, former coach, have a YouTube channel, podcast, and an author. So just striving to do all things, making a positive influence and impact, and do everything that I can do to make a difference with what the big man has given me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you said you mentioned you're an author. What's your book or one of your books?
So, man, that part blows me away every time people ask me about books, because where I'm from, like, I didn't grow up around people that wrote books. Right. And so currently, man, we just released my 19th book. Wow. I've been a part of or written 19 books. And so it's a book series, The Impact of Influence. Yeah. And we just released volume 7.
Yeah. I love that, because that book series has a ton to do with our topic today.
Yes.
And Billy, you have a lot of expertise in this topic as well. We're going to be talking about raising young men, particularly the teenage age men in this generation. Yeah. So, Billy, you're a father of teenage boys. Chip, yes, you're a father.
Yes.
What is it like? Let's start there. What is it like having a teenage boy in this generation at this time?
I'll let you tee it up, Chip.
Man, he passed it straight to you, Chip.
Let's go. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's different, but the same. And I'll go deeper into that. I think, like anything, you know, some things have changed. Technology, you know, certain things, how you do things, advancements. But the things that haven't changed is the faith, right? The things that haven't changed is the core common principles and what you believe in and how you operate. And so it's important to make sure that we hold firm to those. It can be difficult, it can be challenging, but I think that consistency is the way, and it helps with everything.
Yeah. Foundation, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah. No, and I also think that in a society that we're in today with the generation that we're raising, I think it's tough from that whole side of exposure to things that we, growing up, we never grew up with the things that they're dealing with and the pressures that they're dealing with. I mean, the social media side of it alone, let's just put that out there say for sure, that's incredible for these kids to have to deal with the challenges they deal with. And then for us as parents trying to raise them to know the boundaries, to know the things that they should and shouldn't be a part of, it's a challenge.
Yeah. When your boys entered the teenage years, what was that like? Did you feel a bit overwhelmed or disconnect just because of the way things had changed from when we were teens? We're all about the same age, right?
Yeah. Close.
Yeah.
But did you feel a little bit of how do I help this teenager live in this time? Because it was a little different when we were growing up, as you said.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Billy.
Well, I definitely think that it was difficult for me. I mean, obviously we take things day by day and grow as we learn as we grow and learn as we, you know, parent. But I would say that having people in my corner that are of older age level than me, and some even the similar age as myself, it's made it easier because we can learn from each other. I mean, the experiences that I deal with my children are maybe different than Chip or yourself. And so just to be able to glean some of those things from them and then put it all back to the core values, as Chip mentioned earlier, which is biblical principles for life and raising children. I think that taking it in stride is part of the challenge for me, is just every day something new. Every single day you have something, be it a new experience for the child or be it a new exposure for the child, whatever it is, it's a learning process day in and day out.
I think for me, I've been up for the challenge and open for the challenge because I know the impact of what that's going to make down the road.
Truly.
So what that does for me is that allows me to be open and willing to learn, open and willing to be flexible, open and willing to have things that we stand firm on. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, there's some things like growing up, boy, you're going to do that. Mm-hmm. You're like, mm-hmm. no, you're going to be respectful. Mm-hmm. You're going to mm-hmm. do things right. You're going to treat people. No, you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And so there's some things that we hold firm to, non-negotiables. Right. Yeah. And then there's also some negotiables. So like, I think the beauty that I have too, and like Billy, you know, I'm an educator.
Yeah.
So I see all the trends. I see the growth. I see everything. And so I wouldn't say it makes it easy for me with my personal son, but I see all the different things that's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I know, hey, you know, like vaping, you know, like all the different things that's going on in the world. Like I see those things. So now I can prepare him to be the best version of himself.
Yeah.
Do you think that is a big thing of importance, is being aware of what your kids are facing?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Because again, it has changed a lot since we were teens. And I think some parents may have a little apprehension to wading into that teen world. Would you have any tips for that? You said it was a little easy for you being an educator.
Right.
But maybe for those who aren't an educator or a coach, what are some things they can do to kind of wade into their teenage world?
I think you hit it with the waiting word. I mean, you got to get into their world, I think. I think it's, as parents, it's our job, it's our duty to get involved in their world, ask the questions, be engaging, be involved, and give them a safe space so that they can feel comfortable to let you into their space. Because you know how it is as children, we don't often want our parents involved in every detail.
Yeah.
But if we give them that safe space where they can feel vulnerable and know that there's no judgment. There are boundaries, there are rules, there are consequences. However, we still want to know everything you're exposed to. We still want to know who your friends are, who you're hanging out with, what you're doing, what they're doing, who's their parent, what is their house rules, you know? And those kind of things go a long ways, I think, especially at my house.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then when you're doing that, what kind of tensions are you running into as the kids are growing up? They're wanting more freedom. They're starting to think they're an adult, but they're not.
Yeah.
What kind of tensions are you running into, and how do you get into those conversations? No tension?
Well, I'm going to just tell you, in my house, it ain't no tension.
No
tension. Boy, you're going to do that, right?
Yep.
No, but seriously though, I mean, there are some things, I think, you know, just to kind of piggyback on what Billy said, I think awareness brings about clarity.
Certainly.
Right. And so when you make the effort to be aware and care, and they know that you know, want to be involved, and, you know, there's some things that, you know, you may not see eye to eye on, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Let's have a conversation and be open and put it out there, and we'll learn and grow together.
That's right.
You know, we're either going to fix it or you're going to leave mad. But no. But, I mean, that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, just having those clear lines of communication, showing the effort to have the awareness. And I think behind all of that, that is love.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and my mom would say this to me when I was a kid, you know, I whoop you because I love you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That don't seem like that jive.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Right. Like,
right.
I don't
have that love, mom.
Yeah. Like, okay.
It doesn't feel like love.
That cannot be love.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But as I got older and mature, I was able to look back on it and be grateful for the discipline that was instilled in me. And the beauty of that is, you know, I've seen that in my son now. You know, he'll say to me, you can tell those kids it's not discipline.
Yeah.
You know, like he's starting to see though the differences in those things, and he's grateful for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of him for that, for being a good dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's something that's really refreshing. You know, my children, I got my oldest, which is almost 18, and then my youngest one, you know, he's almost 8. And so to see the differences, and to see my oldest one come and do just as you said, he'll come back and say, man, you know what, Dad? I really appreciate you saying what you said, because it was spot on. And it's definitely enlightening for a parent, but it's also good to know that the kids are still listening, even though as parents, we sometimes forget and sometimes think, man, I'm being hard on them. When you go to bed at night and you put them to bed, they're frustrated with you. It's like, man, I was a little harder than I should have been. But in a couple of years, they'll come back and let you know how good it was that they got that correction. So
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of differences do you see as they're growing up? Mm-hmm. You have an 8-year-old and an 18-year-old. What are you seeing different in your parenting style in the teenage years?
Well, as we've talked before, you know, age is one factor, but the other factor is personality, right? Mm-hmm. So each of them have different personalities, but I'll say for sure, as they get older, you shift in your parenting somewhat. And the shift is simply, now I'm becoming not so authoritative in my role as a parent to you. At 18, I'm becoming more of a coach and more of a mentor in some cases, still having that discipline when needed, because we all need a little bit of that even as adults, right? Mm-hmm, for sure. So it's just the balance of that and being able to understand what moments are dictating what style of communication maybe or correction.
Yeah.
So,
well, and even what all is playing into those. Mm-hmm, I mean, certainly. Teenage years are a huge hormonal change, chemical body change, all so of that's going things. On.
Yeah.
How do you keep that all in perspective when you are in one of those heated discipline moments?
I think that's tough. I mean, even just to hear you, as I hear you explain that, mm-hmm. like I'm thinking, man, like it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I think another word that I would throw in there is maturity.
Mm-hmm,
you know, you have to gauge the maturity level of.
So true.
Because, you know, kids that are not as mature, you got to keep your thumb on them and make sure it's good. But if they can show you that they are mature and disciplined, hey, you got the freedom to do your thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just show me that you can. Go do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Yeah. And so, yes, that can be difficult. But again, I just go back to the awareness piece. I think just having that awareness, giving the effort, which shows that you care, which is love.
It is love.
Yeah. And communicating that to them, that's love.
Oh, for sure.
How does that go over? Is that always well received that I'm doing this out of love?
I think it's one of those situations where you can provide the discipline, but I've found in by way of mistake, let's just be real transparent.
Mm-hmm.
When you start in lead in love, often the receiving factor comes in easier. So if I lead in love and say, let's have a conversation and we're just going to really and truly have a conversation.
Yep.
It's a lot better received than when I come in strong. When I come in hot, I set the tone of the room and typically that's not so successful.
Yeah.
But if I set that tone lower and let that peace be in the home, let that peace be in the situation, give them some understanding of where I'm coming from, typically we can get to a common ground real, real fast. It's not so heated. It's not so tuned out, turned off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there's one thing too, man, that I incorporated with my son. First off, I'll just go back. Like I come from a family of educators and church folk.
Mm-hmm.
No S, right? So that means we were in church a lot, right? Uh-huh. And I say that because for me, that's a service piece.
Mm.
For me, that's a discipline piece. That's a structure piece. That's understanding that it's not about you, it's bigger than you, right? And so those same principles are the things that I've instilled in him, right? And so I know without a shadow of a doubt that it's made me be an okay person.
Yeah.
Like I'm still a work in progress, right? And I'm grateful for that, you know? But I know without a shadow of a doubt, that has been instilled with him. And so, you know, as he got to where he showed me that he could handle some things and be responsible and do the things that's expected of him, you know, in making some decisions, you know, I trust your judgment. You know, talk to me what you're thinking on that.
Yeah.
Right. And just like you looked at me, like, same thing. The first couple of times I said it, he was like, no.
Yeah.
We're like I taught you.
Mm-hmm.
I trust your judgment. You know, you know how to do things the right way. You know the difference between right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you do wrong, there's consequences. That's right. You know that.
Yep.
And so like you have to learn to decide those things.
Yeah.
I can't hold your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be there to hold your hand all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have a firsthand experience and see what it's like.
Yep.
And so I think that brings about a confidence too. And him knowing that, hey, like they trust me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like they not, no, do your thing.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, then now we got a problem. We got to get close.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. But like, do your thing, man.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, you saying that reminds me a little bit. I don't have a teenager, but yeah. I have a four-year-old. It reminds me of, you know, when you're teaching a kid to walk, you can't always hold their hand. Yep, right. Eventually, you got to let go and watch them navigate the world themselves.
And it's not always easy.
Can imagine it's not always the easiest thing to let go.
No.
Because you've raised this child from, you know, nothing, and now you're letting them out into the world. Yeah. How did you, on the times when it was tough, and you maybe even witnessed them getting some of their own natural consequences, what was your self-talk like? Were you hard on yourself when they would get in those natural consequences? Like, man, I really should have jumped in and saved them. Or were you more graceful or gracious to yourself even then? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'll jump in there on that one. I think because of the love, going back to the love piece, I don't know that, like, there's some situations to where, like, it's been tough for him, right? Emotionally, mentally challenging. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that on the other side of that, he'll be better.
Yeah.
Right? And so I feel that if I, like, I'm not going to let him drown.
Right.
Right? But he's going to have to dog pedal a little bit, you know, to figure it out some. You know, but I'm right there. I can reach you. I can grab you if I need to, right? So I want you to swim, right? And again, I think that brings about a confidence. Like, of course, as parents, you're always, hey, man, did I make the right decision? Mm-hmm. But then that goes back to the foundation, the faith. Like, is it done right? You know, is it, was it instilled in him? It's there. Mm-hmm. So I can trust, right?
Yeah.
I can trust and believe that it's going to be all right. The big man's going to see fit to take care of him and us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what it's been for me.
Yeah, wow.
I think for me too, I've had to really be slow in those moments. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm more of a fixer. Let's get in, let's fix it, let's make it better, whatever that situation may be, we can fix it together kind of thing. And the Lord's really helped me a lot in that I can be slow, kind of the whole James 1:19 approach to it. But as I'm slower to speak and I'm quicker to listen in situations where they fail or where they do something that wouldn't exactly be the way I would plan to do it or want them to do it, when I'm slower, I can step back and calculate how I can respond instead of react. And that's been a huge benefit for me as a parent, because I used to get stressed out at times if something didn't look right, feel right, go right, and they're about to fall down. Mm-hmm. I didn't want them to fall, but to your point, I need you to swim, because one day you're gonna be out there on your own.
Yeah. Right.
And if you can't swim, daddy can't be there to,
I
can't
you
be your floaty, you know? Yeah. And so, again, I think that being able to watch them, I say this often, fall forward, and then I'm there, to your point. I can reach my hand out and pick you up if I need to, but giving them that grace to fall, but fall forward.
Yeah, yeah.
And teaching them that failure is part of the process.
That's exactly right, bro.
You know, there's a piece where, like, you know, at the dinner table, there was an age where, you know, there were some things that were happening, and it seemed like there was lots of failure, right? And so I had to shift the mindset of how you view failure, because failure makes you better.
It does.
Right?
It does.
There's no winning and losing. It's winning and learning.
Amen.
If your perspective is in the proper place.
Good, bro.
And so, you know, straight up, what'd you fail at today?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, and then I go to, hey, failure helps us get better. So when I had rough days as a father, it's okay for me to come home and say, ooh, man, I got better today.
There you go. I like that.
Man, I got better today.
That's good.
Right. Yep. And so now that shows my son that, like I'm not perfect either. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I make mistakes as well, but I'm not going to just sit there and dwell in it. I'm going to find a way to get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good.
And how do you replicate that mindset in the next generation? Because I think studies are showing that this generation feels a ton of pressure to succeed.
Yo, for sure. Yeah.
So much anxiety around the future and what they're going to do. How do you instill that mindset that even if you fail, it's a learning experience and it can actually be a benefit?
I think he hit it right on the head. Yeah. It's living that example out, coming home, sitting at the table and saying, man, I had plenty of opportunity today to get better.
Yeah.
Because when we're vulnerable with our children, they're going to automatically assume that, hey, if they fail, it's okay for me to fail. But we're not falling. We're actually getting better to this point.
Man.
Yeah. That's the key.
Yeah. So it's not this, I've got it all together.
No,
the one with the answers approach.
No. I think too, and I agree with you, like I've seen the higher level of stress because you think about it, there's so much information coming to them. You know, like when I just like, you know, when we were growing up, like things were more simple.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so now, like you really have to teach those coping skills. You have to teach prioritizing, okay, like this is not important. This is. You have to really have to teach time management. You really have to teach organization. You really have to teach reflecting. You really have to teach being proactive rather than reactive. Like you really have to teach those to provide an awareness so that you make it simple. And so I think that I mean, I've always tried to live that, just keep it simple. I'm just a simple dude, you know, just trying to do the best I can with what I have. And so I think when you can operate in that manner, you see what's in front of you. Yes, of course you got your big, hairy, audacious goals that you want to hit. But like if I can hit, boom, what's in front of me right now to the best of my ability with this step, it'll allow me to get to the next step.
Progression, not perfection.
Man, and then when I get to that step, I attack that. Right, and then, that was good. I get to that next step, right? And I get about four or five steps. I'm like, man, I'm moving now. But then I can also look back and say,
Look at that.
Man, can you believe that?
Like,
and be proud of what I've accomplished, which makes me want to go in that direction more and be better more.
That's good.
What kind of pressures are they facing right now? Do you see as an educator, as a parent, what kind of pressures are your kids coming home and dealing with or opening up to you about? Or maybe kids at school and your sports team or?
I think one of the things that's seen more often than not at my home now is just the comparison thing. You know, there's a lot of comparison going on. There's a lot of well, they get this amount or they get that amount or likes or not likes or it's tough. I think another thing that's big is just image, who we are. There's a lot of image situational things going on with they're this and I'm not that, or I'm this and they're not that type of thing. And it's the identity part. And that's where at my home, that's what we're focusing on, identity, who we are in Christ. Because once we get that established, we got a lot to work with. But when you're in the comparison trap and you're stuck in this identity crisis, if you will, and you don't know who you are in Christ, but there's a lot of opportunity for people in the classroom setting for sure to be able to come in there and really stir up the pot. And it's hard for the kids if they don't know.
Thankfully none of us have ever compared ourselves to anyone else, so we've got that down.
You know, it's funny, I share this funny with you guys. So like I said, I've always been a simple guy. And I'm grateful that I was taught to be an independent thinker growing up. Right, like, you know, you in Christ, this is who you are, right? And so I was taught that as a kid, and it's great to hear you say that about, you know, you pouring that into your kids as well, because, man, that's going to build them up and make them just so strong as they face those challenges. And so it allowed me to not be worried about what everybody else is doing or what everybody else thinks about what I'm doing, right? And so, you know, those are some of the things that I adopted as a young guy, and then I saw that it got me success.
Come on.
Right? And so, like, sometimes, you know, you look around like, man, am I weird? I'm not doing everything that everybody else is doing. I'm kind of weird, right? And then as you grow, I get to college, it's the same thing. You know, like, man, I'm not doing all of this stuff. Like, this is different. Like, I'm really studying and like keep going to the library. Man, I'm kind of weird, man, right? This is weird, right?
Yeah.
And so then I got a college degree, and then I got into a career, and, you know, just things just started to happen. And like, man, like, everybody is different. You know, I'm weird. weird, right? Yeah. So then I started to just adapt. Man, weird is the way.
There you go.
Everyone, that's right? Weird people are the way to go.
Like, man, like.
You want to
like,
be weird.
Yeah, all of those people that you thought were weird, like they're doctors and lawyers.
Yeah.
And
they're
big time successful people. And so now, you know, it's a joke with my son, like, bro, hey, weird is the way.
There you go.
Like, I'm going to tell you, like, like, man, if like you thinking you weird, man.
You're doing something right.
You are right. Weird is the way.
Yeah.
That's so good. And then, I mean, what kind of core things are you talking to your son about being? You had that foundation.
Yeah.
What are you, as they're entering these years, they're dealing with identity, they're dealing with stressors and problems. What are you doing to align them back to the truth? What is the truth you're guiding them to?
Seek first the kingdom and all will be added.
That's my
thing. You know, because it's easy. We, as men, as boys, as humans, we all want to know what's way down the road. We all want to pursue that big goal or that big success. And I, for me, in raising my children, I've always told them, if you put God first and you seek him first, your path's going to be all right. You may not know exactly what it looks like 5 years down the road, but I can assure you one thing. If you take every day and put God in it and ask God to direct your path, he'll do it. And so for me, at our home, we just simply say, hey, the Lord is going to lead and guide us. We're going to have dreams and visions, and we're going to pursue those. But if the door closes, that's okay. That's God's will being fulfilled in my life. And so I like to take the stress off of them to say, you don't have to have a five-year plan, but I expect you to have a plan for tomorrow as God gives it to you. Walk it out. So that's kind of my approach at home. I don't want them to be pressured, which there's a lot of it.
You gotta
grow up and be X, Y, or Z. No, you need to grow up and fulfill God's plan for your life.
That's good.
I think the same with me is, you know, it all goes back to faith. Starts and ends with faith.
That's right.
Right. And so, are we living biblical principles? Are we living in a manner that's pleasing to God? You know, are we doing that? And so, the crazy thing is, like, I can say that all day to him, but it's important to strive to be the example of that.
That's right.
Right. And I think that in doing that, it shows that, okay, it works. You know, it's okay. And so as we're living and learning and growing, they're living and learning and growing as well. And you meet. And you live and learn and grow together.
Together. That's good.
And that's the beauty of it. You know, the bond to that is the communication.
And
I think, too, like we've talked earlier, it's letting them see us in a vulnerable place to whatever degree of maturity they can see that, too. I mean, I know personally when I've made mistakes or when I've, you know, fallen or when my dream didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, I've been candid about it. You know, hey, daddy's dream was daddy's dream. It wasn't God's plan. That was daddy's dream. And that situation really wasn't exactly what I needed to be doing or wanted to do. It was more of a selfish desire maybe or whatever. And the kids appreciate that. Don't take advantage of me, boys, if you're listening to this.
Don't hold it up. Yeah.
I think the things that I appreciated most in my growing up is people that were real.
There you go.
Right. And what I mean by that is they were consistent. Like, you knew what you're going to get from them.
There you go.
Good or bad.
They
were consistent. And man, I rock with real. And that's one thing that my hope is, you know, that my son, the kids that I've been around, like, they know what they're going to get from Coach Baker.
There you go.
Like, without a shadow of a doubt.
I
can say that with confidence.
There you go.
Right? Because that's what I strive to do every moment of every day. And so, like, you know, this is what it is. This is what we do. Like, if it's not this, this is what's going to happen. This is what I'm going to do. Right? And that's consistent. There's no emotion. There's no if and. There's no gray area. That's what it is. And so I think that's the beauty of having growth and great relationships and being there to help and support them. Is when you have a consistent person in your life like that, that brings about trust. Now you think about the people that we trust the most in our lives are people that have been consistent. Like, I know I can bank on them.
True.
And teenagers don't have a lot of consistency in their life from friends, even at home.
Yeah, right. Maybe even family situation. Yeah, maybe they're in a divorced home. Maybe they're going through situational things. Yeah,
definitely. You as a coach, and I work with kids. I know you work with youth as well. You talked about being able to spot the difference in kids who don't have that foundation. What is the difference? What do you see? What are some patterns of behaviors that when you see, you're like, that kid just doesn't have the discipline, the focus, they just need put back on track?
I think all of that, what you just said, sporadic, not consistent, not disciplined, focused, won't listen to, I say authority, but like, you know, people that are mentors are striving to pour into them. But what fixes that is just continue to be consistent. And so with time, that brings about a trust. And so they see that, no, he's the same. And I'll share this story with you. You know, there's a guy that I had in the class a long time ago at Conroe High School. And I was consistent in that class. You know, he wasn't giving what he should give. And he would show up and not do what he's supposed to do. And I was like real with him, you know, not disrespectful or anything like that. Like, hey man, like let's knock it out. Like by you doing what you're supposed to do, you can change the trajectory of your family. Like, do you really understand that? And so just tried to make him realize that, but at the time that was not his focus. Right. And so I share that because about a month ago, I received a message on social media from this same guy. And he told me straight up, Coach, thank you for being consistent and pouring into me. It's helped make me be the man that I am today. I always, and I don't have an everyday where I talk to this guy. I've seen the guy probably twice since he was in high school. I'm telling you, man, that's been like 10, 12 years ago. Right. And so I get a message from him and he said, like, thank you for doing that. And so at the time, like I don't know the impact that it's going to make on his life. But what I do know is that I care about the kid and I want to show him that like, man, if I can do stuff, man, you can too.
True.
Right. Be the example. And so that's why, like, this is what the expectations are. Right. This is what I expect from you. And if you don't do this, then this is what I'm going to do. Right.
And so toeing that line.
And I'm going to be consistent about it. Right. Like, you're right, coach. You know, and then like, you know, even then he's like, yeah, you're right, coach. I need to be better.
And so, I think that's it. Everybody wants to be better. Deep down inside, even those that don't have the correction in their life.
And some don't realize that they need the correction until they have people in their life that shows them, you know, like, hey, that's probably a road you probably don't want to go down.
I think that's another thing too, is calling it up when it is seen in them, especially for those that aren't necessarily our children, but children that are around us in our circle of influence. When you can call it up in them, when you see it, I think that's powerful too. I know for my own personal life as a youth, I can remember the person that called it out of me. Hey, man, you got more in you, son. Do I really? I do. I do have more, you know.
It gave me chills when you said that, because having someone in your life that believes in you.
I know, man. It's power.
Like even when you may not believe in yourself.
Let's be real. Even as adults.
It don't stop.
There ain't nothing better than to have somebody pat you on the back, even though we don't seek that. But it feels good.
I can't remember where I read it, but a teacher said every child needs a champion.
There you go.
And teenagers are no different. Adults are no different, as you said, but they face so much judgment, criticism from friend groups. Just to have someone in their corner to even say, I see a positive thing in you,
man,
will change their life. Whole life. Possibly.
We all need that.
We do.
That's
really true.
Man, this has been such a great conversation. We've just touched the tip of the iceberg when it comes to teenage boys, but who knows? I mean, we could talk for hours about all the things, but I'm so grateful having you guys on. Chip, thank you so much. Billy, thank you so much
for
being a part of Friends You Can Grow With. And I hope you guys will stop by and join us next time.